Ephesians chapter number 4, the book of Ephesians and chapter number 4. We've been doing a study on this great epistle, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. By the way, let me encourage you to begin, or not to begin, to continue to memorize chapter number 5. There are some half-page sheets in the lobby, and we're going to take 2 weeks to review the verses that we've memorized. So we're up to, I think it's about verse 23 of Ephesians 5. And so verse 1 through 11, if you want to take that, take it home, review it. I tell you this, you know this, repetition aids learning. And if you'll just take a few minutes a day, you will be surprised at how much of the Word of God you can hide in your heart. And the Holy Spirit will bring it back to you. And so let's try to get back. We're going to review. And a couple weeks, we've been some time since we've been in the book of Ephesians. We've had a number of different Bible school and different things. And now we're geared up and ready to continue our study in Ephesians chapter number 4. And I want to just take a few minutes to review just for a little bit. And then we're going to look at two verses today. And I trust that it'll be a help to all of us. Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, you remember, we looked at a focus on doctrine. A lot of rich, good doctrine in those three chapters. And we spent some time looking at that. Chapter number 4 is where, and 5 and 6 is where then the book focuses on behavior, focuses on the outflow. And we said this, we said that belief, what you believe will affect your action. And it's important to remember that. What I do is more important even than what I say, because what I do is really what I believe. And so often we can say one thing and do another, and people will call us a hypocrite. Remember? Yeah. People will say, you don't really believe that. And so the groundwork of doctrine is laid, three chapters worth, and now the practical outflow is going to be chapter 4, 5, and 6. We looked at those two words, therefore, because of the teaching, as we begin this chapter, verse number, chapter number 4, and beseech, I urge you, based on what? Based on truth. And so we looked at the first sections of this, and we said, and the emphasis really in the first maybe half of this book, this chapter, I mean, verses 1 through 16, is really an emphasis on unity. It's really an emphasis on togetherness, we might say. And so we said that the emphasis was for us to walk in unity. And we looked at all of this truth in these early verses, that we walk worthy of the vocation which we're called. And we looked at the aspect of allowing God to work in us. It starts with me being what God wants me to be. It starts with us allowing the Spirit of God to work. And we looked in these verses, we looked at this, and then we looked at this section, understanding the underlying truths, understanding the truths. As we look at 4, 5, and 6, there's one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All of us serve the same Lord. His name is Jesus, right? And if He's Lord of my life, and He's Lord of your life, we're going to be able to get along and walk together in unity. And so I need to allow the Spirit of God to work in me to be what I need to be. And then I need to understand some unifying truths, some truths that are laid out here, and that are these truths. There's one God. We serve the same God. The same Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you gets along with the Holy Spirit of God that indwells me, right? The problem is our flesh, and it's allowing, we have to allow the Spirit of God to be in charge, if you would. So our third truth then, as we look at walking in unity, all right, we said, let God work in you, if we're going to walk in unity. And then we said, understand the unifying truths that we see in the Word of God here. Now, I want to call your attention to verse number 7 and verse number 8. And this is really going to be our focus for this evening. The Bible says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And I want us, number 3, to recognize that if we're going to be united, if we're going to work together, if we're going to obey the truth of the Word of God here, we need to understand and exercise our spiritual gifts. Understand and exercise our spiritual gift. And I want to pause and ask the Lord to meet with us real quick here. We want God to open our eyes to truth, and then we're going to dive right in and talk about spiritual gifts. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for the privilege it's ours to gather in your house. And Lord, we're asking you to do what only you can do. Would you help us, Lord, as we seek to understand truth? And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you, as we look at the verses 7 and 8, the Bible says that unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8, the end of it says, and gave gifts unto men. If you are saved here this evening, when you accepted Christ as Savior, obviously you were forgiven of your sin and you are guaranteed a home in heaven. But it doesn't just stop there. The Holy Spirit of God moved inside of you. Every Christian is indwelt with the Spirit of God. But you have also been given a gift. You have been given a spiritual gift to serve God in God's church in a unique way. I want you to turn to 1 Peter. We looked at 1 Peter chapter number 4. And I want you to see what the Bible says in four passages of Scripture. And then tonight, what we're going to simply do is look at spiritual gifts. And we're going to help you possibly to determine maybe what your spiritual gift is. Now, let me say this. A number of years ago, we, in our Sunday school hour, dove into this in detail. And we also provided for you a spiritual gifts test. And if you're here tonight, let me ask it this way. How many of you feel like, and maybe this will be reviewed, but it's in our text, and I want you to see that it's in the context of unity and working together, and we'll bring application at the end here as we think about this, but how many of you would say, I feel 100% like I know what my spiritual gift is, and you say, that's where I'm at. How many put your hand up? 100%, I know my spirit. Okay, all right, okay. All right, okay, so maybe half. Okay, which is not a problem. After tonight's message, if you're still a little confused, Pastor Drew has some, it's called a spiritual gifts test, that you can go home and just answer some questions and possibly give you a little bit of direction. Now, the test, we'll talk about that when I get there. So, all right, so now we're in 1 Peter chapter 4, and this will be good. I hope this will help all of us. And I want you to look at verse number 10. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So God wants us to be good stewards of the gift that he has given us, that we are to use to serve him in and through his local church. And so we read there in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. Now I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, and I want you to look at chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This will help us, and we'll come back here after we look a little bit at these gifts. We'll come back here and we'll see how they are to work together in the body of Christ to fulfill the work that God would have us to do as a church. And so I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, actually, let's look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Okay, so God is likening the church, it's the body of Christ, And he's likening the church here to a human body, saying, hey, there's ears and there's eyes and there's arms. And the members of a physical body don't say to other members, hey, you're an ear, you're worthless. I'm a feet, so I can walk and I can go wherever I want to go. No, the body works together, okay? And so verse number 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? If your body was just a hand, where's the rest of the body, right? Verse 20, but now are they many members, yet one body. And if the eye cannot see unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22, nay, but much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Verse 25, that there should be no schisms. You say, what's a schism? That's a nice word, isn't it? Schism. It almost is an onomatopoeia, right, Gene, maybe? A word that sounds like it is schism. Boy, that's a nice word. Division. That there be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And so here's the admonition. The body of Christ should work together, fulfilling what God has called us to do. Now, we're all different. We all have different personalities. We have different jobs and different, maybe live in a different area and drive different cars, although we have a lot of white vans. One week we were looking at all the white vans, and so you don't know whose white van is who, except for ours, because it's so big. I mean, how can you miss that van, right? But we're all a little bit different. And yet God has equipped us with spiritual gifts in the local body in which we are to serve Him. Now, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter number 12. And this is the other passage of Scripture. And we'll spend the rest of our time here in Romans chapter number 12. And I want us to look, we see in this passage, we see the spiritual gifts laid out for us. And I trust that this will be a help to us as we look at these spiritual gifts, and as maybe we even understand, okay, what is my spiritual gift, and how would God have me to serve in His church? And really, the emphasis I want to make today is that though your gift is different than somebody else's gift, we have to appreciate one another's gift. Sometimes spiritual giftings can be the opposite. And sometimes we can find ourselves frustrated with somebody that has been gifted of the Lord in a certain area that we're not. And we need to take a step back and we need to remember, hey, we're all part of the body of Christ. We have been given these gifts by the Spirit of God to help us all serve together. All of us aren't going to be eyes. All of us aren't going to be ears, right? But the eyes have to appreciate the ears. And so now we're in Romans chapter number 12. And I want to begin reading in verse number, let's say verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, Romans 12:5, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, and I'll read the list and we'll come back. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So what do we see here? We see a listing of spiritual gifts found here in Romans chapter number 12. And so now what I want to do is I want to take some time and I want to just talk about these spiritual gifts, and then we'll pull it together. It is important, I think. Now, again, sometimes we can swing the pendulum too far, right? We can swing the pendulum too far and say, well, I have the gift of prophecy. Now, there are some that teach that the gift of prophecy is only for preachers. I think it's a little broader than that. I think the gift of prophecy really has to do with somebody, and I'll describe it in just a minute. Let me get back to my other thought. As we think about our spiritual gift, we don't want to swing the pendulum too far one way or the other. We only see, well, that person's a prophet, and so no. We have to obviously be balanced as we look at this, but I think it helps us in understanding ourselves and in understanding what God has called us to do in the local church. So somebody with the gift of prophecy, I summarized them in a few words to make it fit in our slide here. But a prophet is someone that would call attention to sin and wrong attitudes. A prophet is passionate about exposing sin, but not primarily so sinners can be punished. He's passionate about exposing sin so that truth can be revealed and fellowship with God can be restored. A prophet has a God-given ability to sense when compromises are being made, and his gifting demands that action be taken, something needs to be done. Now, you may say it this way, maybe a prophet sees things as black and white. Do you know, sometimes maybe you know some people like that, where they see it's either black or white, and that's how it is, and there's no room for gray or for personal interpretation or personal opinion, right? And we don't want to necessarily be negative on any gifting, but it's important that we understand and do what? And appreciate someone that has the gift of prophecy that would see attitudes, that would see sin, that would say, hey, this isn't right, especially in a local church setting. So we see the gift of prophecy, and the Bible says, if it's prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, Romans 12 and verse 7, we see another one. And the Bible verse says, the phrase is this, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. So we have the gift of, we might say, ministry. Some might call it the gift of helps. They might say that. And I summarize it up here just to fit it on our screen here. Desire to serve and help God's people. By the way, let me say this about spiritual gifting. A spiritual gift does not necessarily mean natural ability. Okay, some people are natural leaders, you might say. Some people are naturally athletic and others aren't, okay? Often, though not always the case, often our spiritual gifting is in an area that's not necessarily natural. You say, why? Because I have to depend on God, right? I need to depend on God to serve him in his church. And so sometimes it's not necessarily natural. But anyway, somebody that has the gift, we'd say, of ministry, or you might say serving, expresses himself most satisfactorily by doing tangible work. He serves by doing, not by explaining or teaching or discussing or giving or organizing. He may do some of these things, but he would prefer short-term tasks. Because of the spiritual fulfillment that comes from completing a task, they like projects at the beginning and endings. They often, a server, will often volunteer to serve in church-related or group-related projects. You can count on a server to be that. You may have a church, we had an outreach Sunday lunch, and you would find maybe a server begin, as people are finishing, to begin clearing plates and to begin wiping tables. And that, obviously, God has gifted people in this way. Now we're at chapter 12, by the way, that doesn't give us, and again, I'm going to try to not have the pendulum over here in the middle. It doesn't mean that everybody that says, well, I'm a prophet, sits and does no cleanup at all, right? We're going to sit here, it's time, outreach, Sunday dinner's over. Where are the servers? get this stuff cleaned up, all right? Sometimes servers can be burnt out, right? But that's not. What we're trying to do is help you as you understand yourself and what is it that I find myself tending toward doing when it comes to ministry? But then I really just wanted to talk about these to help us tie them together as we work together as a church and be united as God would have us, as we see here in the scripture. All right, so now we're on, what are we on? We're on number 3. As we look at our verse, we're in Romans 12 and verse number 7, or he that teacheth on teaching. Okay, so we have the ability to teach and apply God's word. Christians have the gift of teaching. They search for truth. They study diligently. They sift through the scriptures, hoping to find answers to numerous questions. A teacher's passion to discover and validate and teach truth. A teacher instinctively asks questions, anything that seems inaccurate, and usually that doubt motivates him to search out the answers needed to establish truth. And I'm trying to hold from making lots of application here because I want to kind of apply it as we look at each gifting together. But there you have in summary form, teacher. Or verse 8, he that exhorteth on exhortation. The ability and desire to encourage. How many of you know somebody, they are just an encourager? Let me see your hand. And when you find yourself down, you might find yourself attracted maybe to them to hope that they will encourage you. Their motivation, an encourager, obviously, is to encourage believers to mature in Christ. And an encourager might see trials as opportunities for growth. An exhorter sympathizes with the suffering Christian, but he is a little different than the gift of mercy in that they see pain through the lens of God's sovereignty. And they express love. They're available. They want to do what they can to encourage God's people. All right, you finding yourself yet? See, I'm not sure I'm there yet. Well, it is not a spiritual gift for you to be the Victory Baptist Church coffee taster, all right? It's not coming there, all right? We're in our text here. And our next one is giving. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And giving, the ability and desire to give to God's work. Their motivation to share resources to meet needs. Givers particularly enjoy preventing waste by exercising wisdom and accountability. They find joy in finding less costly ways to do things. And if you've ever known, I'm sure you've known people, some people have learned to be givers because of what God's Word says, give and it shall be given unto you. But other people are just natural, they're natural givers. And you go out to eat or whatever, and they want to buy, and they want to just give. They want to give to God's work. They want to give to God's people. All right, two more, and then we'll try to apply this and help us as we see how it works with regards to unity in a church. All right, ruling. The Bible says this, he that ruleth with diligence, the ability to lead, and administer. The drive here would be to lead others to get a project done. An organizer is another term. He leads others to complete projects. Might not necessarily do the job, but through organization and delegation, make sure the job gets done. They have the ability to discern the strengths and weaknesses and talents of others. When a project's launched, the organizer does not focus on how the job get done, but mainly who can do it and who can do it best, and they have a tendency to see the big picture. All right, number 7, last but not least, the Bible says here, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, the ability to feel and help others with pain. All right, the divine ability to sense hurt and to respond to hurt with love and understanding. The mature mercy giver is kind and gentle. They sense and reflect the spiritual and emotional atmosphere around them. They need to be needed. They have to reach out and get involved. And obviously, they can empathize with people. Now, how does all this relate to a local church. Now again, Ephesians chapter 4, the emphasis is on unity, and we've been given. So you, if you're saved here tonight, you've been given a gift by God that God wants you to use in your local church. And so if you're confused, you say, well, I'm not exactly sure where I'm at. You can just circle some numbers. Do you have a tendency to do this or that? And you tally them all up at the end, and you might see what your gifting might be. And again, it's really good to know your own gifting. And Pastor Drew has some tests. But let's think about this. Do you know that somebody that, and you know what we ought to do? Well, maybe we'll just have you stand. Let's do this. All right, let's just do this exercise. I was going to say you could all sit with each other, but we won't do that. Let's do this. How many of you, we say, Pastor, please don't make me stand. What if I'm the only one? All right, you can raise your hand. How many of you would say in this brief overview, now about half of you said you already know what your spiritual gift is, but how many of you would say the brief overview that you'd say, I'm probably in category one prophet. I have a tendency to see things, you know, black and white. Any prophets here? All right, some of you ought to take the test because I think we have some prophets here. We have a tendency all, by the way, to not see ourselves for who we are, you know. You ever take the five love languages? I'm chasing a little rabbit here. You ever know the five love languages, right? And you say, well, who wants to be the bad ones? You know, I'm always the quality time. We have a tendency. None of them are bad. And when it comes to this, none of them are bad either. We have a tendency to think that the prophets are the bad ones, don't we? Yeah, but they're not, all right? They're not. All right, so no prophets here, although I think we have a couple, and we'll help you. All right, who might say you have the ministry? Maybe gifts of ministry helps. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, and I can see that in some. Okay, good. All right, how about teaching? Ability to teach, okay? Sometimes teachers like to instruct. You ever notice somebody like that? You know, they like to do instruction. Okay, teachers, raise your hand again so you all can see each other and feel warm and fuzzy when you look at each other, all right? Now, this is the one everybody thinks they are. This is the one everybody thinks they are. Exhorters, encourage. Let me see. Yeah, this is the one everybody thinks, but they go, I'm trying to help you. You know, you need to get it together, Brother Brown. I'm exhorting you. No, you're exercising the gift of prophecy. Okay, but we all like to be exhorters. Wonderful, all right? How about giving? Givers? Okay, see these people after church and ask them for a buck. They'll give you $3 or $4. Right? All right, how about ruling? Ability to lead, minister? Okay. All right, how about the gift of mercy? You know, mercy. Oh, you know, people with the gift of mercy always see the other side. They always see the other side that you don't think about. All right, now, I knew a pastor who had the gift of mercy, but his wife had the gift of prophecy. Now, both are gifts from the Lord. But can you see how someone with the gift of prophecy and someone with the gift of mercy maybe couldn't get along? Because a prophet is saying, you need to get right. There's sin in your life. You're doing the wrong things. You're watching the wrong things. You need to get it right. And the gift of mercy is going, oh, you don't understand. That guy had a tough week this week. That guy, you know, came from a home where his parents just hated him. Give him a little bit of slack, right? And so what do you have? You have spiritual giftings, right? Okay, how about somebody that has the teaching aspect? The teacher wants to know, here's what we do and how we do it and why we do it, right? How many of you know what you do, why you do it, and how you do it for everything you've ever done? Just the people that are teachers, right? Do you know that sometimes we have a sense? How many of you are ladies? Okay. Ladies have intuition. I don't have intuition. I wish I did, but I don't. So sometimes a lady will say, sometimes my wife will say, I don't feel good about it. So what do you mean you don't feel good about it? Makes sense. Logical. I just don't feel good about it. You cannot logically deduce why someone might have an intuitive hesitancy about it. But somebody that has the gift of teaching, I want to know why. Prove it to me. Give me three. Let's get the facts. Lay it out. We all have the Spirit of God that indwells us. We all have a, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule your heart, right? Sometimes we look at the Word of God, we may talk to somebody and we say, I just don't have peace about this. Well, again, somebody with the gift of teaching might say, hey, but I don't get that. You ever get frustrated with somebody, you know, these, someone like Brother Talbot, right? Financial vanguard people, right? You ever get frustrated when you're with somebody and they just feel like they just give? You know, my mother, she's in heaven now, but she would always just give. She's with the kids, no birthday or nothing, and she'd say, oh, goodness, here, take this, you know, these dollars. She'd empty her purse for no reason at all. And sometimes you were like, you know, the disciples that said, why are you breaking that alabaster, all that money, and pouring it on his feet? What's up with that, right? And sometimes we can find ourselves saying, what are you doing? Okay, imagine you're a prophet and your wife's a giver. Or let me flip it the other way around. Okay, maybe ladies, you're the prophet. We'll make it a little more challenging. And your husband's the giver. Now again, I'm not telling you, I'm a giver. Pastor told me I can take the life savings and give it away. Hallelujah. No, I'm not saying we swing the pendulum too far one way. I'm saying we got to be balanced. But sometimes with givers, you have to let givers give. And you have to trust the Lord that God's going to meet the need. And so someone may say, oh, I think we should just give this thing away. And someone in the church may say, whoa, have you ever heard of eBay? We can sell that. We can make some money on that, right? And so as we think about it in the context of the local church here, looking at Ephesians chapter 4 and looking at us working together, God giving us his gifts, it's helpful for us to understand where we are and even helpful for us to understand where other people are. Do you know someone has a gift of ministry or serving can get burnout? Why? Because they're always serving, and they're finding fulfillment in serving. And someone has to say, hey, praise the Lord, we love you, good service, but you need to take a rest, right? And it's easy for us not just to get frustrated with different personalities, right? But it can be easy for a church our size or any size to get frustrated with someone else's spiritual gifting that we don't have or we don't see or we don't get. But if I recognize the gifts have been given to us by God to fulfill what God would have us to do as a church, we say, hey, you're an eye and I'm an ear, and I appreciate you. I hope you appreciate me, right? And your hands and your feet, you have this gifting and this, and I appreciate you, and I hope, and we work together for the cause of Jesus Christ, that his name be honored and glorified. And that God knew what he was doing when he instituted, and we found this out in Ephesians 3, when he instituted the local church, didn't he? He knew what he was doing. And by the way, God knew what he was doing in bringing you to Victory Baptist Church. He knew what he was doing. Some people say, well, you know, I'm kind of a friendly person. I'm a real friendly person. And I went there and I joined there. And maybe they're not as friendly as I like them to be. Mm-hmm. And why do you think that God put you there? Because God knew, well, you knew, that friendliness needed to happen a little bit more. Or whatever the need may be. And we often look at life, what's in it for me? When the reality is, we should say, Lord, I'm in it for you. And I'm seeking to be what I need to be, to do what I need to do for you. And you may say, you look at again a server, well, nobody noticed. God's not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. And what we do, we should do for him. And may God help us. May God help us to do our part in helping Victory Baptist Church to be united, to be what we all ought to be for the glory of the Lord. Now, I want to bow you to bow with me for prayer real quick. And we're going to transition into the Lord's Supper here tonight. And I want to just ask real quick, maybe the Spirit of God spoke to a heart. And we're going to have an in-your-seat type invitation tonight. When we look at the Lord's Supper, we look at not eating or drinking unworthily.